What's up, Bill? How are you?
Good, Glenn. Steve, Michael, how's everybody doing today?
Doing pretty well. Didn't get an awful lot of sleep.
A couple hours sleep.
But the outcome was pretty damn good. When you look back at a film like that and you go through the tape and you monitor it, how much stuff do you find that you sit there and say, oh, my God, I can't believe we did that? Because so much of it looks so good last night. I'm sure there were things that didn't work out and plays that were broken during the course of the game. But it just seems like so much went well for you last night.
I think it did. You know, our players did a good job. They really, performed well in all three areas of the game, on offense, defense, special teams. But at the same time, we had two fumbles that – we recovered both of them, and both of them led to points, or one of them was a touchdown. So, things like that, it could have been a little different story. I mean, there's certainly some things that went our way last night, but some of those things we made our own opportunities. But sometimes the ball bounces your way, and sometimes it doesn't. But the players played well. They prepared well. Houston's a tough team to get ready for. They got a lot of good players, and I thought our players had a good week of preparation. They really worked hard to get to know a team that we didn't know very well. And overall, I thought we had good level execution last night. Not perfect, but good. And we played physical. We played strong. We tried to control the line of scrimmage and battle with them on the line of scrimmage, especially against their defensive front. And so I thought we hung in there and got off to a good start. We were able to play from ahead, and so all those things were good.
I want to ask you about that preparation for Houston. You look at Gary Kubiak, head coach, played in Denver, coached in Denver. Dennison, the offensive coordinator, played in Denver, coached in Denver, but played on the defensive side of the ball. So many Denver connections. Is it unfair to make that connection and say, okay, as we prepare for this team, this is really the Denver concept, or is it not that simple?
No, I'd say it's very much the Denver concept, absolutely. I think that what Coach Kubiak and Coach Dennison do offensively is very similar to what they did at Denver and with Mike Shanahan. And of course that looks a little different now in Washington with their offense, or even what we played when we played Washington last year, which of course wasn't really a highlight game for us, but I think that Washington has transformed that offense a little bit more, and I would say Houston's has been modified less than Washington's, and it's very similar to what we saw at Denver during the Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak years there, in the mid 2000s or early 2000s.
So did that allow you, at least that knowledge, did that allow you to take, say, 4 hours off of your preparation or 5 hours off because you don't know the team that well, but okay, if they do this, that's the same as Denver, who we've seen many times over the years doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. I think there's certainly something to be said for that. The problem with Houston, and it was the same problem with Mike Shanahan, is that the things that you've seen aren't what they do. And we saw that last night. They run a lot of the same plays and the same concepts, but they build them from different personnel groups, different formations. They use a lot of motion, so a lot of times you don't see the final formation until right as the ball's being snapped, so you can't really get into it or kind of tee it up because it moves so late. You don't know exactly where that guy's going to motion, where he's going to end up. He's going to end up in a tight end spot. He's going to end up in the backfield. Is he going to end up in a split-out position where it plays like a three-receiver set and things like that. So they do a real good job of mixing those different looks up and running their basic plays from them, but they disguise them because they get into the looks late. It really comes down to them defensively. The most important thing are your fundamentals, because it's so hard to get a read on their formations and their plays. You just have to fundamentally read your keys, do what you're being told to do based on what happens in front of you, and then, hope it all fits together. They definitely caused us some problems. There were a number of things that, we had issues with. And as you saw, one of the things they tried to do last night was put Andre Johnson in the backfield and motion him out. They probably did that a dozen times to – again, change the strength of the formation or force you to relocate and figure out where he is and whether he's in the slot or whether he's on the strong side or weak side and adjust your coverages. They were in a lot of empty sets, but they hardly ever lined up in empty. They always motioned to it. A couple times they lined up in it, motioned out of it, back to a one-back set. So things like that cause you to make adjustments that you can't really practice for because those are the things that they didn't do. And there's a thousand other things they didn't do. You just don't know which ones to pick out. So it's not like it's anything you've never seen before, not like they changed or revolutionized the game. It's just things that when you only have so many practice plays, you just don't have an opportunity to rep them all. And that's where they really cause you problems.
How about their blocking? Same thing? You're dealing with the same thing?
The blocking is the same. Yeah, the blocking is the same. Absolutely, the blocking is the same. They try to attack the edge. Their backs are fast. We saw Foster a couple times just get outside, and you know, we had a little trouble getting to him or pushing him out of bounds. I mean, he's fast, and faster than most, and the blocking schemes are the same. They try to get to the edge, and then they try to cut the lineman inside, and if the linemen get cut, then there's a natural gap between the guys who are moving to the outside part of the play and then a guy who gets cut on the ground, and then there's space in there. Or, of course, if they can get to the edge, then they just run out there. But there are usually two points of attack, one outside and one somewhere in the middle if they can get a cut block and get a guy on the ground and create that space inside. So that's pretty consistent with what they do. But, again, they build it a lot of different ways. Sometimes they go strong side. Sometimes they go weak side. Sometimes they start strong side and bring the guy back across behind the line of scrimmage and include him in a blocking scheme, all different varieties of those type of things. So, and, run, of course, run the play actions off it, which they tried to do quite extensively last night.
Yeah, that Denver cut blocking scheme was always the most annoying thing you could ever play against. They were just, and they were so good at it too. I mean, it's not, you think it's just easy to just cut a guy, but there's more to it than just diving at a guy's legs. They were so good at it. And you can see Houston was pretty good at it too. You
know? Well, they're very good at it. I mean, they're one of the best rushing teams in the league, and they do a good job of executing the blocking schemes, and their backs do a good job of reading it. And once the backs get in space, they're fast, and they make a lot of yards on their own. They can eat up a lot of ground in a hurry.
It was an unbelievable offensive start to the game last night. Are you scripting X amount of plays? And if you are, how closely do you stick to that script? Or you just play it as
You know, we try to certainly go into the game with certain things at the top of the list. I mean, here's the things we're going to start with. But so many times we see things real early in the game. It could be the first series. It could be the second or third play. As to how the team's going to try to play us tonight. And it's hard to get a feel, in all honesty, it's hard to get a feel for how some of these teams are playing us because the teams that they play prior to us don't do what we do. You know, they run a different style of offense or a different tempo of offense. And so I think that we see defensively something that's really specific to the New England Patriots and not necessarily what they did the week before against Tennessee, or what they did the week before against Detroit, or what they did the week before against somebody else. So there's a little bit of that early in the game. So we go into the game and say, okay, well, these are the things we want to do. But if they're doing this or if they're doing that, then we're going to have to merge over into these other type of attacks, whatever it happens to be. And we just don't want to go in there and run plays that we feel like are bad plays. We want to try to get into something that we feel like we have a chance to gain advantage on.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't too long ago I asked you about the defensive backs and why they were struggling. You looked at me like, okay, what do you want me to do here? But look at it now. It's the opposite. I'm asking you the opposite question. Defensive backs are not struggling. They really have performed well. Do you think the turnaround has been the move of McCourty to safety and the acquisition of Talib, or is it something else that we're not seeing that you think has led to them really making some plays and competing much better on the ball on a consistent basis?
Well, I think defensively we've gotten better over a significant period of time, maybe the last 2 months. And I think that's attributed to a lot of things. Some of it's personnel, some of it's scheme, some of it's technique, some of it's repetitions with the same guys. There's a lot of communication that goes on in the secondary, both verbal and visual, just because of the crowd noise, especially playing at home where you've got to look out and kind of give the guy a look, and you both know what you're going to do in this situation. There's a lot of that that comes into play. But Steve Gregory missed a few weeks. Devin made a move back to safety. Talib came in. Alfonso started playing more. Kyle started playing quite a bit in the slot. So we made a few scheme adjustments. I think all those things, and doing them more frequently, doing them with more consistency with the same people. We got Patrick Chung back. He was out for a little while. He's been able to, you know, also come in and contribute a little bit in certain situations. So I think we're just, you know, incrementally moving ahead week by week in little things, whether it be run force or play action or third down or red area or goal line coverage. They, you know, had a goal line pass last night that we defended fairly well. So, you know, those things are all, they're little things, but they all add up, and I think we're improving defensively all the way across the board. A lot of our third down situations have been in longer yardage, and, of course, those are easier to defend than the third and twos and third and threes, so some of that comes from playing better first and second down defense, totally as a team, not just in the passing game, but in the running game as well. So that's...
And then,
I think there's a lot of things involved there. I don't think it's just one. Well, McCourty moved to safety. That took care of everything. I don't think that's it. I think it's a multitude of things that, and most importantly, it's been the players' hard work and diligence to prepare on a daily basis, to get better on the practice field each day, to get better fundamentally with their techniques individually. And then collectively, that's all, you know, the rising tide lifts all boats, and I think that's kind of the case, that that everything has come up a little bit, and collectively it's improved.
I was just going to ask you that. I mean, you put it, another point is when you put a team out there, it's a fluid thing. It's not like you just have guys on the field in week one and you say, okay, this is who they're going to be from week one through week 17. You probably factor in a level of improvement. Some guys get to the level you expect. Some guys fall short of it. Some guys exceed it. Is that fair to say that, you know, you?
Well, I think again, it's a timing thing. That even though a player may be perfectly capable of doing two or three different things, sometimes when it all hits at once, or the circumstances that go with it, you know, doing a job against one team and then doing it against another team isn't equal. One week it could be a lot bigger than another, and so. You know, that was, for example, a situation with Tavon, who's done a good job for us this year, at times playing safety, at times playing in the sub-defense. You know, when Gregory came back, that's enabled him to really focus on a little bit of a smaller role. When Steve was out, it really expanded his role. I think Tavon can do any and all of that, but at that point in time, with some other things that were going on and injuries and communication and the teams we were playing and so forth, it just, you know, collectively as a defense, we weren't as efficient as we've been in recent weeks. So, again, I think all those things play a part, but I don't think it's just any one thing. I think the one thing that is common is players have worked hard, they're committed, they've taken the challenge, they've tried to improve individually, they've tried to improve in their units, they've tried to work better with the corresponding units, the DBs with the linebackers of the D-line, and it's all, you know, incrementally improved a little bit by bit, week by week, day by day, and over a couple-month period, it's improved.
Short week. You've got San Francisco coming up. This is a very good team, but it's also a team that changed quarterbacks here 5 weeks ago, Bill. Do you prepare for both quarterbacks? And certainly they seem to have different skill set here. One can run a little bit more than the other one can. The one seems to be more of a manager of the game, though he's very, very good at it. Do you have to prepare for both of them?
Sure, because as we all know, in one play, one guy could be out and the other one could be in. I think this is has some similarities to the Denver situation last year where they were a little bit in transition at the quarterback position. Of course, by the time we played them, they had settled in on Tebow, but for a while there, they were a little bit transforming the offense between being a heavy option team like they were with Tebow, you know, going to that. And I think there's a little bit of the case with San Francisco. It looks like that they're evolving into more of an option team
with Kaepernick.
And yeah. They're doing a little more of the type of thing that Denver did. And, of course, like Tebow, different skills but similar in that, you know, they're both good option quarterbacks. They're both very athletic, and they can cause you a lot of problems. So you have to defend them, too, as another ball carrier, another part of the offense, and they can throw as well as run. So I think there are some similarities to the Denver type of offense that we saw last year. Different, but there's some similarities there, and of course they have some big receivers and good receivers like Crabtree and of course Moss and guys like that, like Denver did. So there's certainly a big vertical element to the game that's potentially there, as well as catch and run elements on underneath patterns that, you know, get too many guys up there trying to stop the run. The option game, then they got people to get behind you. So and Davis the tight end. So they got a lot of good players, and they do a lot of different things offensively. It's a lot to prepare for a team that we don't know very well.
The Coach's Hour is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz and by Barmakian Jewelers. Get excited here, Bill. Here's
all
the
right,
time. Here it is. Time now for the Coach's Question of the Week. It's brought to you by your local Mercedes-Benz dealers and their winter event going on now at your local Mercedes-Benz dealers on the web at nbusa.com. Jeff in Arlington wants to know, since we had another Navy win in the Army-Navy game, Navy's got a pretty good winning streak going on here. Jeff wants
they
to
own them.
Yeah, they do. Jeff wants to say wants to know what your favorite Army Navy game memory is.
Oh boy, oh that's a tough one. That's really a tough one. Might be the first one I remember, and that was Joe Blano's three touchdowns in the 43-12 win in 1959. And then that was the first one. That was a big game for Blano, a big game for Navy. The 1963 Army-Navy game where Navy was ahead 21-16, that was the 9-1 Cotton Bowl team that went and eventually played number one Texas that year. It was a week after President Kennedy's assassination, and Navy had the ball, or Navy was ahead 21-16, Army scored, got the onside kick, driving, the game ended with Army on Navy's one-yard line, couldn't get the last play off. The year before, in the 62 game, which was Roger Staubach's sophomore year. Of course, he wasn't eligible to play as a freshman. His sophomore year was a big win for Navy, like 32-14 or something like that. But President Kennedy was at the game and switched sides and sat for half the game, kind of a few rows in front of us. So that was pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. And then there have been a lot of other wins along the way as I got older and was able to stand on the sideline, be the ball boy, that kind of thing. Those were... You know, those are good too. The 67 game was a big win. But so I haven't seen too many of those. I did see part of the game last year. It was in D.C., but I haven't seen too many of those since 75 when I came into the NFL. It's conflict in schedules.
Guys should have.
But I watch them.
Yeah, the guy's question should have been Bill's top 10.
I was going to say, it's a good one. But, you know, it's a big
one. Well, I'm going with the first one. I'm going with the 59-43, yeah. Okay. 43-12 yeah. game. Joe Bellino,
well,
three touchdowns.
More impressive. The great Joe Bellino, by the way.
You saw all of Staubach's college career then?
Absolutely. Here we go.
Wow. Yeah. That good. Just amazing in college?
Oh, yeah. He was for right off the bat, too. Yeah. You know, his sophomore season, he beat Michigan in Michigan. You know, they beat Notre Dame 35-12 in 63, and it was 40-some years, whatever it was, 45 years before they beat them again.
Right.
So, you know, they beat Pittsburgh when Pittsburgh was ranked number one, when they had Paul Martha and those guys. And I'm sure I used to sell programs at the Navy games. I would
really?
Go out and sell them in the parking lot before the game. And of course, when the game started, then that was it for my program. They turned in the programs, you know, gave money, and went and watched the game. But that was
really hawk them. You'd say, "Hey, get your pro," or you just wait.
Yeah,
for
sure. No, in. Yeah, I'd go out there and
get paid on commission.
Sure. Yeah. Well, the traffic was all backed up, and they, you know, everybody's waiting to get in the parking lot and all that. So you go out there and get in the traffic jams and sell them, and they read them on the way in. Programs were a buck a piece, and you made 10 cents a program. So, you know, you go out there and sell, you know.
Nice.
Nice.
Sell 50, 60 programs, whatever it was, 70 programs.
Got it made. You watch, and you
not
watch,
bad.
And you watch a football game.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, you know, you didn't have to buy the ticket, right?
One of my jobs growing up was five games a year of going out and selling programs. Our high school lacrosse coach was the kind of guy in charge of it. So all the lacrosse players and you know, some other people, but you know, it was kind of the program sales guys were, you know, his guys.
Yeah.
So, those guys.
What was he making?
Yeah. He's probably making the other 10 yeah. cents a program. It's probably 20 cents a program. Yeah. Give us 10, right. The other 10.
What did they
make? Count the money.
It's business. It's all good.
Might even make it more than that, for yeah. all you know. Congratulations on the win. Good luck Sunday night. We'll see you back here on Monday, Bill.
All right. Sounds good.
A good way. Right, thanks, Coach.